since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1253. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me for this special episode, we have Paris Lilly. What's up, Paris?
We're doing this live from the Microsoft Lounge.
Microsoft Legends. Yo, that was so funny.
That was good.
Yeah. I released the interview a couple of days ago. I think it came out pretty good.
It did.
A conversation we had with Mojang. It was awesome.
But you know, that's the thing about that. You know, I guess just going hot right into the show, talking about Minecraft Legends. When we did the hands-on a couple weeks ago, literally at the Microsoft Lounge in Los Angeles, and then we got to sit down and do the interview with, creative director and executive producer, I believe. But it was fun. You know, it was fun. Like if you watch the video, we were like upstairs, like in their loft area. And then, you know, we're sitting down with them from Mojang. But then you had other people from Microsoft that were kind of in the background. And, you know, everybody was just smiling and, you know, was having a good time. I mean, after 3 years of this pandemic and doing these video interviews, to be able to sit back down again with people and talk and get that face to face human connection is always good. So, yeah, I really appreciated doing that.
Yeah, man. And honestly, we've been doing a lot of interviews the past couple of weeks in person, which is exciting, which means, you know, we're going to get to see more events coming up from now to the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And Summer Game Fest is coming up in June. And it feels good to see this again instead of the usual, okay, let's record an interview, you know, through Zoom or whatever. You know, like I love that in-person sit down. It feels good to see that back again.
Hey, I'll give this spoiler right now in saying that I did a video interview earlier this week, right? And I had even told you offline, I'm like, man, I'm not feeling it. I don't know if they were into it. I don't know. But then when I got the actual video footage back and I'm watching it, I go, not that bad.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's hard to tell over a camera. You know what I mean? So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I watched the interview too, and I was like, man, this is good. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's okay. And look, I just want the listeners to be excited. We have a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of game reviews, a lot of events coming up, Summer Game Fest coming up. I think this feels like 2007 again with all the content coming up. And in the next couple of weeks, man, like it's an exciting time to be a gamer. Like, you know, watching The Last of Us TV series, that was a huge success for HBO. Now, recently, Super Mario Brothers movie breaking records worldwide. I think the number right now, as of right now, in just a couple of days, it's not confirmed yet. It's like up there. $377 million, all-time highest gross, I think, for an animated series.
Yeah, it's going to beat out Frozen 2, which was at like $358. So
that's wild. Plus, here in the States, over $200 million here in the States alone, domestic.
And it's not come out in China yet, has it?
No, it hasn't even come out in Japan yet. That's the crazy part.
Well, you know, we're having fun on social media because remember, you and I, when you know, we were at WrestleMania last weekend. Again, that was amazing. Couple of days we had being able to hang out all our friends, but we were at WrestleMania, we're even talking about it before it came out, just saying, oh, because like Tim from Kind of Funny, you know, him and Gina, they went to the premiere, and we were just kind of casually talking. I'm like, do we think this is going to make $1 billion? And we're like, we're both like, oh yeah, this is easily going to make $1 billion. And then I remember I tweeted it and there were people that were I don't know. I don't think so. Da, da, da. And I'm like, you crazy. And sure enough, here it is. It's coming out and it's just setting records. Honestly, I think when it was all said and done, I'm thinking about 1.5 billion. That's my guess right now.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, I don't know if you've seen the list of the movies, the top 10 movies that reach 1 billion. Dude, this is like the elite.
Yes.
Like it's not easy to pull this off. Both Avatars is in there. Are there Avengers?
Yeah, Endgame. Infinity War. I believe, didn't Iron Man 3 hit 1 billion? I believe.
Titanic.
Well, yeah. Titanic. Because again, you could just go on and on down the list. I think Black Panther was also 1 billion, if I do believe.
You think so? I don't remember that.
I feel like it was.
Yeah, but besides, like, here's the thing, because I know people were like, oh
Top Gun. Don't forget Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun, I forgot about that. The thing is that a lot of the people that are saying this, because they're so used to seeing movies like Avatar and like Marvel movies to hit 1 billion, mm-hmm. but it's rare. It's very rare to see that from an animated movie. And here's the difference. Here's the difference between, especially this movie compared to other animated movies that's been very, very successful. Mario Brothers has been around for decades, since the 1980s. We're going to go back even when Donkey Kong came out, the arcades. So it's a very well-known, iconic character. So it was smart for Nintendo to get together with Illumination and Universal to do this. Plus, having the theme parks, getting that hype for the past couple of years, and they're planning to add more rides in the future. And I think the Orlando one hasn't been open yet, but that's going to come up. But they're adding more rides in Japan and in Hollywood and in Orlando in the future. Like, I don't know why it took Nintendo this long, but yo, right now, when gaming is so hot, especially in Hollywood, because of these numbers, I guarantee you, you're going to see even more movies, more TV series, more projects in the future because of the success of the Last of Us, Sonic, Mario Brothers, Detective Pikachu, and the list goes on and on. There's going to be a lot more movies like that and series, man, which is exciting. It is exciting.
It is. Real quick, and I want to jump right back into Mario because I did Google it. So, excuse me. I pulled up all the Marvel movies that have made 1 billion. So I'll just super quick. Yeah. Endgame almost hit 3 billion. I mean, because I think it's still the number one grossing all time. I know Avatar 2 is getting close. Avengers Infinity War went over 2 billion. Spider-Man No Way Home almost hit 2 billion. Then you had the Avengers at 1.5 billion. And then it goes on down the line. But Black Panther was 1.3 billion. So it did. And the lowest of the billion club was Captain Marvel. It also hit 1 billion.
So question, is there any animated movie in that list?
No, this is just Marvel. I didn't pull up.
Oh, just Marvel.
Yeah, I didn't pull up everything. That's a good question. I'd imagine Frozen had to hit 1 billion. There's no Frozen 2 at least had to. Yeah. I don't see why it wouldn't have. But going back to into Super Mario while you looked that up. Yeah, I mean, I saw somebody tweet this, and this is and it made the perfect analogy as to why this is going to be such a huge hit. You're talking 40 plus years of people that have connected to this game or connected to this character in these franchises over various IPs, right? You may not necessarily be a fan of Super Mario Brothers, right? But maybe you're a fan of Super Mario Brothers RPG, or you're a fan of Mario Galaxy, or you're a fan of Punch Out, or you're a fan of Mario Golf, or you're a fan of tennis or Mario Kart. Like, Mario has touched so many different genres over the past 40 years that at some point, you know who he is. You know who that character is. Luigi's Mansion, again, as another example. Donkey Kong, as another example. There's so many different genres that Mario has been a part of that to now come out with this movie that has hit on so many different Easter eggs and just there's something there to where it's like Leonardo DiCaprio meme in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where he's pointing at the TV because there's something you were like, oh, I know what that is. Right. Mm-hmm. Like the one Easter egg old heads like us. Yo, Kid Icarus. I guarantee you the kids are looking at that, go, what the hell is this? I immediately knew. I was like, oh, you know what I'm saying? I know what that is. Or when you see the Punch Out Easter egg, you know, with Glass Joe, stuff like that. And then obviously all the various Mario ones that were in there. And then even just with Donkey Kong, and again, I'm not going to spoil the movie, but you've seen in the trailers when him and Donkey Kong are about to go at it and you look in the crowd. Yo, all the Easter eggs of the Donkey Kong characters that are in there. You know, it's just stuff like that, man. And look, the story wasn't necessarily the greatest, most, you know, in-depth story ever, but it didn't need to be. And I didn't expect it to be. I think one thing, like, it's hilarious to see the Rotten Tomatoes scores versus the critic scores, because it goes to show you they're trying to judge this. They're trying to be super critical, like this is like freaking, I don't know, Avatar or something, right? When it's like, no, it's kids' movie. At the end of the day, this is a kids' movie. Let's not forget that. This is a movie that kids are supposed to enjoy. Like the theater I was in, when I went, I saw it 2:00 in the afternoon, packed. Kids, adults, everybody. Everybody was just smiling the whole time. That's the whole point of what this movie is supposed to be, right? Like, I'm so happy that they nailed it. Like, remember, everybody was so worried about Chris Pratt and all that. Chris Pratt was fine. Absolutely fine. But they nailed the Mario character. They nailed Luigi. They nailed Donkey Kong. They nailed, like, everybody that mattered. The characters, the voice actors, they nailed it to the point where I'm like, I can't wait to go back into that world, into the Mushroom Kingdom. I mean, again, Jack Black. You could tell Jack Black, they approached Jack Black and they were like, hey, Jack, we would love for you to voice Bowser. I bet you he was just like, he didn't even ask how much. He was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Because think about it, Jack Black, you know, he's a little older than us, but we're in that same generation where he grew up as a kid. I guarantee you he grew up as a kid playing Mario, just like we did, right? So he knew immediately, and you could tell he just went in the recording booth and he just had a blast doing it. And it all made sense. Like, everything made sense in it. Like, I'm telling you right now, Danny, for me, and of all the things that you'll want to come out of this, I want to see Variety Hollywood Reporter go, Charlie Day has just signed a deal to star in Luigi's Mansion. That's all I want. Like of everything out of this, I just want that. I want to see Luigi's Mansion. But the point is, you know, you're going to get it at some point. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're going to continue the Mario story. It's eventually going to go into Galaxy and we're going to get all the Peach backstory and they're going to spin something off into Donkey Kong. And we know Yoshi's eventually going to show, like, Wario's going to be in this at some point. Why Luigi, bro, there's so much potential. With what they're going to be able to do with this, as long as you keep the quality where it is with this first movie, don't cheap out on the budget. And they know they don't need to, because this is going to be a billion plus, multi-billion franchise moving forward. It just is. Think about it. Think about that sequel. When that sequel drops, which will probably be what, in the next 2 or 3 years, they're going to put a sequel out, right?
Yep.
If this one's making that, imagine now the anticipation for oh my God.
Yo,
it's gonna be crazy.
I'm going to say something because I think I've never talked about this, but I'm not going to say much, but I know a couple people that actually got to watch this early. Mm-hmm. When I mean early, I'm talking about like last year.
Right.
They got to see this movie early, right? And they watch the new one right now. And the only thing I will say is they were very impressed because based on the feedback, they made changes in the movie. And that's a typical thing that happens in Hollywood where based on the feedback, there might be reshoots or like, you know, stuff like this, like it's animated, they were updated and changed it up. I mean, you could even take it back to Sonic. Remember when they released the first trailer of Sonic that people were like, that's not Sonic.
Right.
And they made those changes. But yeah, the people that got to watch it early, they mentioned to me that this one is a lot better. And thank God for the feedback. Thank God. Because it was good, but it could have been better. And I think this was like perfect. Now, Paris, just imagine this. This movie, if Nintendo continues, they could turn this into like MCU, you know, part of the Nintendo universe. Yo, imagine the future, Smash Brothers. Just imagine that. Imagine having a series of Zelda and like little things here, cameos here, you know, because you can't do every single movie or every single series. But imagine one day they announce we're making a Smash Brothers movie, bro, with every Nintendo character you can think of, bro.
Now I'm a push back on what you just said.
Yeah.
In that I'm not sure that would work as a movie, but I could see inside of a movie a nice Easter egg towards that. You see what I'm saying? Where I don't think you could do a full 90-minute quote unquote Smash Brothers movie. But to your overall point, if you don't think Nintendo, if you don't think we're going to see something with Zelda and Metroid and freaking Kirby and again on down the line with the rest of these franchises, you're fooling yourself. Mm-hmm. This is the next cinematic quote unquote franchise universe that's coming from Nintendo. And when you think about it, it makes total sense. And it really also makes sense from the standpoint, this is why Marvel has been so successful. You now have 40 years of these characters, right? On various levels, just like the comic books obviously went back, you know, honestly, you know, like to the 60s, where these characters and these stories and these adventures, you've had so many different variations of them. You've now had that with these Nintendo characters, with these Nintendo IPs, so that, yeah, you're going to start seeing, like I keep bringing up the example of Luigi's Mansion. Luigi's Mansion is a variant off of Super Mario Brothers that has become its own franchise now, right? You could easily splinter that off of what they're doing right now with the Super Mario thing, and it would make sense. Nobody would blink an eye. And we talk about Donkey Kong. Like, I told you this story offline. I don't think I've ever said it on the podcast, but I remember 1982. We were going to the 1982 World's Fair, which was in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we had stopped at a Sheraton hotel before we got there, right? Just along the way, because we drove up. And back then, I don't know if they still do that now, but back then they used to have little arcades in the hotels. Excuse me. And I went in there, the arcade that was in the Sheraton Hotel, and there was Donkey Kong. That's the first time I ever saw Donkey Kong. That's the first time I ever played Donkey Kong. I still remember that moment to this day. And who's the character? Jumpman, AKA is now Mario. You know what I mean? So it's just like, that's how far this goes back for me, back to 1982. And to see the various things. Again, when I talk about my Red Ryder BB gun moment, was when my mom surprised me in 1985, Christmas 85, and got me the frickin' Nintendo. And boom, now here we go. Super Mario Brothers and the rest is history. But hell, I remember for that. Remember the Mario game that was in the arcades?
I mean, I remember.
Yeah,
I remember.
That's what I'm saying. And again, I don't want to give away too much. There's an Easter egg to another game that Mario and Luigi were a part of that's in this movie. And I'll let people find it for themselves, but... Mm-hmm. This is the point, man. They got so much stuff that they can do. Danny, do you realize how freaking awesome a Metroid movie could be?
Oh, now. Here's the thing. I think every IP, if they're planning to make a movie or series, I think it makes more sense to be animated, man, more than yes, having it as a live action movie.
I'm looking at all these as animated. I don't think any of them should be live action. Like, I think a live action Zelda would be a mistake, personally.
Same here. Yep. Yeah. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. And here's the thing. It is hard to pull that off. It's easier to do it animated. Like, look at that a series of that came out on Netflix, I think, what, over a year ago, 2 years ago? Arcane.
Mm-hmm.
That was animated, right? It was based on League of Legends.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, amazing. But see, a series like The Last of Us, that makes sense to be a live action series than animated. You know what I'm saying? So it all depends. I think Nintendo, for everything, all this supposed to be all animated. By the way, Paris, I looked up online of movies of all time that hit over a billion. There's only 51 movies on this list. I mean, there's a long list of like 900 million and all that stuff, right? But like billion, only 51 movies, and there's only 9 animated movies that hit over a billion. Now, the one that hit the highest from all the animated movies, The Lion King, and Frozen is behind that one.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So Super Mario Brothers is potentially, and is looking really good, is going to be in this list, part of this list in just a couple weeks.
Yeah,
and here's the thing. This movie is not out in China. It's not out in Japan. Imagine when that version comes out. Latin America is doing really good. Europe is killing it of people watching it. And here's the thing, Paris, we went to the movies twice this week. So the first time was for Mario Brothers. We tried to get that special popcorn tin that they had, completely sold out. And we were there at 7 p.m. on a Thursday. It was already sold out. So the line was so long inside just to buy popcorn, and it was so packed. It felt like the old movie theaters, or when you go watch a movie like Avengers Endgame or something like that, right? Completely full. And it was all for Mario Brothers. Maybe a very small percentage for other movies. I went there yesterday to watch D&D, Dungeons & Dragons. By the way, highly recommended. So good. That movie is so, so good. Paris, it was completely full. And guess what? When we were walking around the area in Burbank, we see people dressed up as Mario, Luigi, or even Peach walking towards the movies. I'm like, look at this. Look at this. People from all ages dress up. I seen family all wearing T-shirts of Mario Brothers with their kids, parents, all together going to the movies doing that, right? My cousin, she's not a gamer at all, but she... Her son, her oldest son, he's like 13. He is, and since a kid, he always been a fan of Mario. That's all he plays. He doesn't play any other game. He only plays Mario Brothers. And this was like the biggest day for him to go watch this with his family, with my cousin, his mom, dad, sister, going to the theater to watch this, man. And it was a big day for them, man. And they were saying that this was completely full, sold out. And another thing I want to bring up, marketing was huge for this movie too. Because look, I went to Los Angeles airport, LAX. There was billboards there. Amazon having a shipment of boxes, sending it to different people, right? Every time you order something from Amazon. And they had Mario theme boxes in their part of the package. Billboards, buses. I seen posters all over LA. It's the same thing in New York and other places across the country. Same thing in Brazil, in Europe, Japan. This is a big, big IP. And I think now Universal seeing this, yo, they're going to invest even more money. More,
oh,
and more money.
1,000%.
More than just Mario, just on Nintendo IPs. And Nintendo, they were involved into like the story, and Nintendo is known for, besides Zelda and a little bit of Metroid, think about it, every story that we played from Mario, it was simple. It wasn't a deep storyline or anything like that. It's just a fun, having a good time type of game always. And Nintendo brought that formula and made the same exact thing into a movie, and it worked out. And look how much money the movie got because of that. So all these movie critics saying, oh, this is the worst movie, I doubt this movie is going to make a billion. Now seeing these numbers, I'm dying to see the reaction. Once it officially comes out, the news today, I'm dying to see the reaction, what they're going to say after this. Because the most important thing, Paris, is seeing the numbers a week after that. Because John Wick, for example, the numbers did amazing the first week. I think it did over 100 million domestically, I think, or worldwide. I can't quite remember. And of course, it was a drop after, you know, the week after that. So I'm wondering the numbers, is it going to stay high still week two? Because that's when you can see if this movie is going to hit a billion very, very quickly. Because Avatar Part 2, The Way of Water, it went up every week. It was still up in the top 10 every single week. And it hit over 2 billion very, very quickly. Because the movie came out, what, back in December, mm-hmm. right? And we're in April and almost 2.5 billion just on that. So, yeah, it's exciting. It's very, very exciting.
No, it is, because I think universally everyone is a fan of this franchise, this character. I mean, how could you not be? And I want to take it a slightly different way, because I know we've literally spent the entire episode talking about this, but I want to say this one last thing, because I owe this to you and your wonderful wife. Y'all introduced me to Dashi.
Oh,
and those Dashi, freaking, yeah. but this ties into the point of it. And he's sure. Now I understand who he is, and I see how mad popular he is and how huge of an influence he is. He literally just put out a video yesterday where he went back and started playing Super Mario World 3D because he watched a Mario movie and he obviously loved it. And obviously the reason I'm bringing this up is he was doing all those Mario Maker Challenge videos, and he's hilarious. We were dying laughing watching it. I came home, me and my son started watching, we're dying laughing. But that's the point. Like, even look at how Mario has created the genre with these with the Mario Maker game and these challenge videos. And you have someone that's mad talented like Dashi, who's hilarious, that is able to take that and create content off of it. So there's an entire audience that has probably been introduced to Mario through him and things like that. You see what I'm saying? So this is what I'm telling you. It Mario is a global phenomenon. It's not just, oh, gamers or nerds. Kids are going to love it. Gamers are going to love it. Parents are going to love it. Everybody's going to love this stuff. Everybody loves this. That's why Mario is going to be so big. And that's why, you know, to your point of what you're talking about, just the what Universal is going to do along with Nintendo and capitalize on this. I'm all in. Like, it doesn't even feel like a cash grab. I want them to do this. Like, I want to see it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, again, just keep the quality up. That's all that matters. Give them the budget. Keep the quality up. You know, obviously, like with this Mario movie, Miyamoto was heavily involved. Nintendo was heavily involved. As long as you continue to do that and you don't just start throwing stuff out, this, like, if anything, don't rush this. If you don't have a story, if you don't have the ideas ready to go, don't rush it. Don't throw something out. I would rather not see another Mario animated movie for 3 years if that means they took their time and they did it right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, agreed. Agreed. I know I was supposed to say something. One last thing. The only mascot that I could compare to Mario, if you actually think about it, which has been working for this company for years, Mickey Mouse.
Yes, perfect analogy, because that's exactly what Mario is at this point. He's Mickey Mouse.
And we've been at Universal multiple times in Orlando and here in Hollywood. And, you know, they have the Minions, they have a couple characters there, right? But they needed that one character. One character that could turn into a theme park,
mm-hmm.
and that was Mario.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured it out. Mm-hmm. They figured it out, and it worked out for them.
Ask yourself this question: when you the fact that you bring up the Mickey Mouse thing, mm-hmm. ask yourself this question: when was the last time a Mario game came out and you weren't excited for it,
bro? Every game.
That's the point.
Every game.
That's the point. Every time you see something, you're like, you pay attention. You're like, oh man, what's this? You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And I'll mention this. You know, I think I never mentioned this to you, but you know, when we were at the movie theater, bro, that theater was hype. Everybody was excited, making sound effects of Mario and Luigi and all this stuff, right? So, and this is not a spoiler. This is exactly as soon the movie starts. You see the Mario 8-bit introduction. It says it's a kind of like a Nintendo Presents type of thing, right? Bro, I got so emotional. seeing that. I don't know if it's like that for you or other people, but the reason why I got emotional that moment was because I was thinking me as a kid playing for the first time in Dominican Republic, asking my mom and my dad to buy me a Nintendo because I wanted it after getting the Atari 2600. And they were like, nah, nah, you got to wait. So I had to wait a couple years later. And then I got it in Dominican Republic. And yo, I remember finishing the first Mario Brothers for the first time because all my friends finished and I was the only one behind. I'm like, ah, I can't do it. Yo, when I finished that game, bro, I was screaming, jumping, running all over the house. And I'm like, yes, I made it. I made it. Yo, it was the most amazing feeling in the world, man. And watching that intro, I never thought as a kid that 40 years later, we were going to see an actual movie like this. Well done. Because there was previous Mario TV shows and movies that just didn't work out. This was just perfect. Perfect in my opinion, man. I loved it. It was so dope. So dope. So... another thing I want to bring up, man, this was like a long conversation about Mario's, man. See the power of Mario Brothers. Another thing I want to bring up, Paris, is Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Just the trailer just finally released, today. Cause, for the past couple of days, Star Wars Celebration has been happening in the UK, in Europe. And, yeah, they've been, you know, announcing new shows, new movies, everything. And, I got to play the game a couple of weeks back, and I'll mention this to you, and I think we talked about this behind the scenes, but going to that hands-on event of Star Wars Jedi Survivor, first of all, I was excited. The amount of people that were there and the way how they were promoting this and giving us the freedom to do whatever we want while playing the game, it was a five-minute presentation. 4 hours gameplay, which is hard to see that from a company to do. Like, if they're confident, the company would do that with media and content creators and like, you know what, go ahead, play it, do whatever you want. I mean, there's going to be some spoilers they don't want us to talk about, of course. That's typical, but that's how you know how confident Respawn is and EA. And, you know, seeing this trailer and everybody's super excited, bro, I'm even more excited to play the game, bro. I can't wait to play this, man. It's bigger. It's better than the previous game. And I love Fallen Order. Love that game so much.
You want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
You obviously did an amazing job on an interview, but I've been very careful to not watch. Like, you know, there was the IGN footage, stuff like that. Yo, I'm not watching nothing. I'm not reading all these like the only previews I watch was you and then Barrett at Kind of Funny. That's it. I don't need to know nothing else. That's it. I don't need to know. I'm in. You already got me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you right now, this is how much I'm in. Sure. I would assume we'll probably get a review code or whatever. Y'all gonna send me nothing. Cause I will happily give you my $70 to play this game. I cannot wait for this game. Cannot wait. And you know, we know a couple folks over at Respawn. They're mad confident. And obviously you were at the preview events, you know way more than I do, but just the confidence that is exuding from that studio regarding this game. I'm in. Mm-hmm. I'm in. I don't need to know nothing else.
Yeah, you know what? I have to mention this because this is important. But if you haven't listened to the episode of the preview, hands-on impression about the game, go listen to it. Okay, there is no spoilers, zero spoilers. I told the guys not to mention a lot of things in there, and plus we had a list of things for us not to talk about. But there's no spoilers. But listening to that audio gets me even more hype, and I recorded it. Was there with everybody, yeah. Man, you know what I'm saying? So, and you know, shout out to Respawn for inviting me. And you know, we went to Disneyland. We were around the Star Wars area the whole time. But yo, they gave us the lightsaber that's in the game too. I was like, bro, oh my god, because I don't know if you know this, Paris, but last year I went to Disneyland and I built my own lightsaber. And yo, I got super emotional. I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. Cause I always wanted to do it for years, man. So yeah, I made one, the color blue on mine. So you can also select like the crystal and everything. Oh my God. I don't know if you've ever done it or experienced that before, but it's so dope, man. So dope. So, so dope. So, but yeah, guys, go watch right now. The trailer is out. It's all over YouTube and also on Twitter and social media is everywhere. So check it out and let us know your thoughts about the movie. Now, the one last thing before we play, we have two interviews for this episode. Minecraft Legends. We got to play this, when was it, a couple weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
We got to play the single player campaign. I think it was only like, 30, 40 minutes of that. And then another 30, 40 minutes of just co-op, where we got to play with a couple other people and it was a lot of fun. Paris was part of my team too. Honestly, I had an amazing time playing this game because I am a huge look. I'm not a fan of the first Minecraft. Like it wasn't for me, but I love dungeons. Minecraft dungeons. Like, yo, I have crazy hours on that game. Like I typically play a little bit, stop, play again. You know, I play this a lot during the pandemic. I will also go to like Central Park and play through xCloud. You know, I think that was the game that I used the most out of all games on xCloud was Minecraft Dungeons, you know. So hearing and seeing the trailer announcement last year at the showcase, I'm like, okay, I'm all in for this one. This one's going to be really, really cool. And playing this reminded me a lot of Pinkman, which another one that they could bring that into a movie, Paris is Pinkman. But yeah, I had a great time playing the game, loved the story. And I felt like there's a lot more to do in the game because we didn't have a lot of time to play it, because I don't know if you felt like this, Paris. I think you did mention during the interview, but at first it's kind of overwhelming, the tutorial. Like, oh man, I got to remember all this. But once you get it, you get it. And it's not complicated. It's not, you know. So they did it. I think they did a great job, especially playing this on a controller. They did a great job with that. We didn't get to play mouse and keyboard. We were only playing the controller. I know there was a section at the event where people were playing mouse and keyboard. I was wondering, how was that process of that? But overall, I just love the game. I think it's going to be a really great game, and it's the perfect time to release it on Xbox Game Pass. And I think the numbers are going to be pretty good once this releases to the masses, man. So what do you think, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, agreed. I mean, just playing the preview, had a great time. To your point about when you go to the tutorial and you see all the different controls that you're going to have to do, you kind of think, man, I got to remember all this. But once you actually start playing and getting into the flow of it, it totally makes sense. But, you know, this has been on my radar since last year that I think this is going to be a very fun family game. And I think the sweet sauce of it's going to be the PvP portion of it. I do. I think with every world being procedurally generated and going in, every encounter is going to be different. No matter what your strategy is going to be, because the world's constantly changing, you're going to have to come up with different unique strategies every time. So yeah, I think it's going to be a blast. I think, you know, obviously, you know, we're entering the review period now, so we're having more thoughts, you know, soon, but for the preview portion of it, yeah, I really enjoyed my time. And again, yeah, Check out the interview we did. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Another game, again, another game where I felt like the developers very confident about this. They're very excited to see people playing. There was a lot of creators and media that got to play this, not only in LA, but also in different other cities around the world where they also had preview events there, man. And yeah, they're really pushing this game, really, really pushing it. So I'm glad to see that. I do also want to mention very quick that, you know, we were playing multiplayer. I was part of the, because we decided this, I was focused on attacking Paris, and others were focusing on also collecting resources. It could get really competitive, man. I don't know. I don't know how was it for you, Paris, collecting resources. But for us, it was very challenging because I felt like the other team had more people attacking us, and it was only like maybe two of us doing this. But how was it for you collecting resources? Was it a lot? Was it good or what?
No, you know, it's like I said in the interview, I did my job, do yours.
Well, I tried to do my job, yeah. But it was hard. No, but it was fun. But I can't wait to play this full game, man. So it's gonna be good. All right, so we're gonna take a short break. Before we come back here, we're gonna play two interviews, which again, we've been attending a lot of events recently. So one is called Endless Dungeon. It's an interview that I recorded, which you could also see my gameplay. It's a roguelike game, similar to like a game like Diablo, something like that. I played this a couple weeks back on my PC, and I sat down with one of the dev team, and we talked about the game. Plus, after that, we're going to play another interview about this PlayStation VR game, VR2 game. It's Creed Rise to Glory. That's from the movie Creed. I actually have a video, which I don't know when I'm going to post it, but it's a video of me boxing Drago from Rocky IV, and I kicked his butt. But I'm going to post that also on my, social media and everything, man. So check out the interviews, and once we come back, we're going to wrap it up. We'll be right back after this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Hello, I'm Romain. I'm Amplitude Studio Head, Chief Creative Officer, and one of the many founders.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations. I finally got to play Ender's Dungeon. Had a great time playing it, man. For those that doesn't know much about the game, tell us a little bit about that.
You know, I don't know if you played Dungeon of the Endless, which was in many ways, you know, the spiritual ancestor that we developed in 2014. You know, I think that's where the main thinking comes from, right? So at the time, we wanted to create a hybrid game between tower defense styles of games and at the time with the apparition of rogue likes or reapparitions of, we should say, of rogue likes, and wanted to see, you know, what would happen if we mixed the genres. The idea was simply that, you know, what about if we're not, you know, a bunch of adventurers coming inside a dungeon and have to go at the bottom of it and defeat the big boss, but start from the center of the dungeon and have to get out of it, and while you do it, get ownership of the dungeon. So hence, you know, the defense. You have to start defending it against its former inhabitants. So that was the idea that we had wanted to try out. And at the very end, just at the end of development, we ask our players what they wanted to see added to the game, and they asked us to add co-op gameplay. No, I did it really late. It was a bit rough around the edges, and we nearly forgot about it. You know, we just moved on, you know, all the games and stuff. And then, you know, the more and more, you know, as we're getting to talk, you know, we always meet with our players every year, once, twice, three times a year. And as time passed by, you know, the discussions went more and more about, you know, these amazing moments they had playing with their friends, co-op, you know, on Dungeon of the Endless. And this is where we realized that, you know, okay, you know, all that was nearly an afterthought, you know, and if it is, you know, one of the best things they have, you know, it would be great to be able to revisit it now, you know, with a bigger team, with also something we really wanted to do, try at the time, to give full control, you know, of the player on the characters. And with that idea, with co-op in mind, full control of the characters, we started the idea of Endless Dungeon. We don't call it a two because, you know, it's different enough to not be, you know, a number two. It's two different. And yet, in the spirit, you know, it is the son and successor of it.
Yeah, I know there's going to be people that they prefer to play by themselves instead of a multiplayer. Can you do that? And if you do play, you know, single player or multiplayer, does the difficulty also changes based on that?
Yes, so of course, you know, we will adapt the difficulty to the number of players. You know, it's, but what's interesting is, so yes, you can play single player and multiplayer, but I would say the experience is a bit different. In single player, basically, as you don't have to agree with anyone else on the strategy, you have to get to go through that very difficult dungeon. It's more of a strategic game. It's more about you trying to beat the game on the technical side and then resolve that in the action. In multiplayer, well, you still have a bit of that, but you have other minds to agree with, and you share everything. You share the resources, you share the choices, you share the, you know, whatever drops, you share, you know, if someone opens a door, you know, it will affect everyone else. So it's all about trying to, it's more of nearly a social experience in many ways. So this is what I love, is the dynamic is not the same. The difficulty is coming more, you know, due to a lack of coordination or, you know, of a mayhem that will appear, a panic moment you will have with your friends when too many waves arrive at the same time, than in single player, which is a bit more you and your mind. But of course, sometimes, you know, things will go wrong as well, and you have to, of course, deal with that.
Yeah, was there anything that your team learned while working on this game from other roguelites games that you felt you needed to make some changes on this so it could be a little bit different? And what is it that makes, what is going to make the people to go back and restart and go back and play again?
It's basically, you know, we definitely have to look at, you know, all the rogue light like around us, you know, the some that are more on the meta, some that are more on the skills. You know, I think it's really hard not to look at, you know, Hades, which is in very ways, I mean, interesting, you know, beautiful as well. So it's so of course we had to look at all of that. One thing for us which was very new is, you know, that's character control. You know, it's we're coming from 4X, we're coming from tactic strategy, where, you know, we used to be a bit more distant from the characters. So that was one of the first challenges we had to handle. And for me, there it was, okay, we should be able to have fun just shooting at a wall. You know, if you can just have a great gun and have a good time shooting at a wall, then you have your control. So it took us a while, and I think we are there. And basically the feeling, the visuals was, of course, you know, a huge a challenge. So yes, we did learn a lot, but, you know, from the others about, you know, I think storytelling, how to tell a story through meta, of course, on the roguelites, to make sure that, you know, death is just a passage, it's just a moment. It's not the end of anything. Or merely the beginning, you know, it's, so I think that is, it is how I think in many ways we also evolved from a more roguelike genre as we were to a roguelite, and meta is essential there.
Yeah. Like for me, when I play a game like that, the thing that makes me want to go back is, of course, I know you mentioned about the story, but also weapons or just new locations you unlock. Like, you know, I was playing the game earlier, and I just love the interactions between the characters. Tell us a little bit about that, about the characters in the game, things that we're going to be available to unlock while every time we play the game.
So basically, you will start with only three characters, you know, out of eight. So it's and then you have to unlock new characters as you play the game. All the characters are all unique. They all have their own play styles. You know, some are more about healing, others they are more about towers, others are more about defense, others are more about just damage, other form of support and buffs. So all of them, they have their own huge play style. And what's cool is that when you play three characters, whether it's solo or multi, you will definitely think about what dynamic you want to give my group. So that's one. So then, of course, as you unlock the characters, you will want also to improve your characters. From run to run, you can decide to improve your actual characters. You can improve weapons, weapons that will drop back in the dungeons. And of course, to make sure, you know, you have better weapons on there, on that model that will be available each time. You know, you can unlock elements, of course, in the storyline, elements in the saloon where you meet again, you know, with your mates after each run, when you just always, you know, come back to life like anyone else, to have another drink. You can unlock drinks that will, beverages, we should say, that will change, you know, the dynamic a lot of the actual dungeons. So the rules will change if you change beverage, which is quite cool. So it's I think it's interesting to see not only you can finish the game in a certain way, but you can finish the ways the game in many different game styles. So just by changing the rules. So which is it's quite cool. So it's nearly endless. Finishing the game is just, you know, one thing you will do, and now you will try to do it with, you know, different aspects. So of course skins, new weapons. So it's a bit it's yeah, it's a lot.
See, you said nearly endless.
Yes, why nearly endless.
Nearly endless.
Yes. No, I mean, basically, I think if you are really into it, in 150 hours, you know, you will have seen a lot of the gameplay. But it depends. I think for someone like me, it will be more like 300 hours. Maybe you'll be better than me, and with 150 hours, you know, you should have a lot of the content.
Yeah, you know, I can see this game being really, really addicted. Like, you know, I play a lot of Dead Cells, and I know you mentioned Hades. I can see myself playing this for a very, very long time. Now, for those that, you know, want to get the game, if this is only going to be available on PC, are we going to see this also on consoles too?
No, it was on consoles.
What happened?
Consoles as well, yes. PC and consoles. I think when we, it's the first time, you know, when we worked on an Amplitude game, that we decided to work with consoles in mind from the beginning, to make sure it would be a console game at first. Because when you go direct control, doesn't make any sense not to go on consoles. So yes, so PlayStations, Xbox, you know, and PC, definitely.
Yeah, and it plays really good on controls. I haven't tried mouse and keyboard. I prefer controls. But are we also going to see crossplay?
So not at the release. You know, we wanted just to focus to make sure like it works well, you know, with each platform. It's a bit of a hurdle to make that work. First, you know, let's see how it works within each platforms, and then we'll take it from there. But it's not impossible if the players, you know, ask for it.
Hey, you know, just get the feedback from the community, and hopefully we'll get to see that in the future from you guys, man.
Exactly.
Now, do you guys have a release date for the game?
I think I'd try to avoid that question for now. For me, it's normally it should be May 18th, you know, we're still working on it. There's so much things, you know, we want to do, but yeah, it should be May 18th.
Hey, look, take your time. Whatever makes the game even better, hey, yes. Go for it, man. Yes. I don't get mad about that stuff, man.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I just want to say, man, thank you for the quick chat, and I can't wait to play the full version once it releases.
Cool. I can't wait for you to get your hands on it. So,
All right, thanks a lot.
Cool. Thank you, Danny.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're going to continue with the show, but first, let's talk about Hot Wheels Rift Rally. Which I got this package a couple weeks back. I actually got to play this at a preview event again a couple weeks back, and that was a lot of fun meeting the developers. I got to ask them a couple questions and everything. So this game is similar to other. I think this is something similar with the Mario. There was like a Mario Kart one where you could play in your house with Mario and the car, and you could drive around. Using your Switch, right? So for this one, it's kind of similar to like that, but this one uses the platform, so iOS, PlayStation 4, and also PlayStation 5. So for those that have other consoles or an Android device, this is not going to work at all. So you're going to mix reality racing. You're going to mix it up, and here's the thing. This reminds me of kind of Kinect, that where if you don't have like a big space, it's going to be a little bit complicated, you know, for someone that doesn't have a big home. Just want to mention that very quick. But in the game, it has 22 cars, and you could change it up into like 140 versions of it. And you could customize the race and play with AI. There's different ways to play it. You could play it campaign mode. With campaign mode, you could race different tracks, and also there's going to be challenges in there, which I think during the I'm going to take it back to the preview event. I was actually you could pick different type of themes of race, right? And there's like characters, not characters, but more like stuff that's happening during the track that is it might be interfere with your race. So you could do that. Again, you could customize your cars. There's 22 different versions, 140 versions of like to customize and everything. Again, people are going to be doing this for a very, very long time. There's mini games, puzzles, and again, challenges. And this is where you're going to unlock like trophies and everything like that. So yeah, you could play solo or play with friends where you could connect multiple devices and, of course, cross-platform play where players could play co-op with their friends on a PlayStation on a single device. You could do that too. So that's really, really cool. So for me, it was cool to try this out. And I think if there's kids out there, family, or people that just love racing, I think they're going to enjoy this. The device or the whole package, which comes with the game, charger, the car, everything, and even the Rift Gates, which this is where you use to customize the tracks at home, and you're going to see it in the game. This overall, if you want to get like the standard version, is going to cost you $129.99. The deluxe version is $149.99. With this one, there is a special edition Chameleon with a black deco and gold accent. So which is going to be a different version. That's not going to be available on the standard. And you could also pre-order this right now at RiftRally.com. So it was cool. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, you play, you know, you could try it out at your house. I know the questions people are going to ask, like, okay, the battery, how long that's going to take and everything, which that was one of the questions that I asked the developers. And they told me to take like around 2 hours or so to just drive around and play normal conditions. Now, again, you could change the speed also. If your car is a little bit slower, of course, it's going to take a lot more time and everything. Now, to charge, it will take an hour, just 50%, 2 to 3 hours if you want to go, you know, 100% full. So again, it's a little bit slow when it comes to the charge and everything like that. But I think it's a decent device, decent game. And it's great for the whole family, I think, personally, man. So, but yeah, I just want to say thanks to VLAN Studios for inviting me not only to the event, but also sending me a copy of this, of a Rift Rally. It was a lot of fun checking it out. And hopefully, I want to hear like if other people are going to plan to get this. Please let us know on Discord or let me know on social media and everything like that. So again, different ways to play. If you just want to play campaign mode, you could just strictly do that. But the real challenge is doing the challenges. That's like a lot of fun, man. Of course, you can unlock more achievements, you know, more trophies and everything like that. So, but yeah, I just want to say the device, the package is already out now. It came out. Actually last month, and yeah, let me know your thoughts. All right, and shout out to the team and everybody that invited me to be part of this, and for giving me the opportunity to review this. All right, now we're going to continue with the show. There's another interview coming up now, and we're going to play here on Gamer Tag Radio.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio.
I'm TQ Jefferson. I'm the Chief Product Officer here at Servios, and we're here talking about Creed Championship Edition.
So I remember growing up watching, you know, the original Rocky, and also I got to see, you know, the most recent Creed 3. Mm-hmm. I had a great time playing this, man. It was a lot of fun, man.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
yeah. You. What is it that you get into, like for you, into like games like this, like boxing games for VR?
Well, you know, for this game, mm-hmm. for Creed in particular, you know, there's something magical that happens when you combine boxing with VR, mm-hmm. right? It's like mm-hmm. it's like they are meant to be together. It's mm-hmm. the perfect platform for it. So, in the sense of creating immersion, in the sense of delivering an experience that looks and feels that's engaging, looks and feels real, and giving you the as a player agency mm-hmm. over what you're doing and what's happening. boxing is just, it was like lightning in a bottle. So we started out with prototyping the idea of it, where we got to start to feel good. You know, we reached out to MGM, our partner and the licensor for the franchise. Like, we got something that's working here that we think is great. Mm-hmm. So, we layer on the IP, and the IP is that extra oomph that gets people to like sit up and go, oh, there's something over there. Mm-hmm. So really, the thing is, it all comes back to the gameplay, right? Mm-hmm. So people show up for the IP. They stay for the gameplay. And, for Creed, we've had a lot of time to iterate, to listen to fans, get feedback, mm-hmm. look at the field out there, and just keep, try to make it better, make it better, make it better. And that's how we have Championship Edition today.
Yeah, so there's been many in the past that have released games, boxing games. Some VR, some not. Yeah. Was there anything that you guys learned from those previous games that came out in the past that you want to make this a little bit more different than the previous ones?
Well, sure. I think the thing that's different, it's always been different about Creed, is that we've been an easy to pick up game mm-hmm. that you know it's not a simulation, it's not a technical fighter, mm-hmm. it has a brawler to it, you don't have to be an athlete or a pro or anything like that to mm-hmm. play it and get enjoyment out of it, right? If you walk around here and you're watching people play, most people devolve into dog paddling, and that's great, that's perfectly fine, because they get out, they had a good time. So we kind of kept our eyes on the goal of delivering a good time and something that immerses you in being in VR, mm-hmm. more so than worrying about the deeper technical aspects of boxing.
But, okay, so out of all the fires that's in the game, which one is the one that you like to, for yourself, to play, and the person that you like to fight against for you?
Oh, gosh. I always like jumping in with the new character. So Felix, mm-hmm. who's in Creed 3. Mm-hmm. I think Felix is awesome, Felix and Adonis. Those are my two guys.
Nice, nice. Yeah, actually, I played with. Let's go back. Rocky IV, Drago.
He was
really tough.
Yeah,
really tough. But I beat him. I got to beat him.
Yeah, Dolph Lundgren, Drago.
Yeah,
right? Victor.
Yeah.
It's like, and I think the thing about seeing that character is that it's fun to see him.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
where it's that nostalgia play. You just like, oh, I remember when like I watched this movie with my dad, or I watched mm-hmm. this with somebody, right?
He gave me that look. I'm like, okay, this is exactly like the movie. You know?
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah. So I think that's the thing about franchises, right? You can reach back generations mm-hmm. and give people something.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I think that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, and I know. There's also multiplayer. Can you play multiplayer in this too, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know I played a single player. But,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One of the things that we wanted to do in making this version of Creed mm-hmm. is, we want to treat the community as one community, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to have, this platform and then this platform. It's all one group. Mm-hmm. And therefore, with PSVR 2, we brought in crossplay with Quest 2. So not only did we put in a ton of new content, better fidelity and taking advantage of the hardware, right? Mm-hmm. We also wanted to make sure that there's, the best chance of getting into multiplayer and finding someone to play against. And so we took all that content and we are upgrading everyone with a Quest 2 that has the game. We're upgrading them for free.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's I call it the We Love You upgrade.
Yeah.
You know?
Can I still trash talk to the person I'm playing online, or this is more like, okay, you just figure it out about while playing the game, and that's
no,
it.
No. I think these two stations over here were set up for PvP. You should jump in.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, awesome,
like it changes when it's a person mm-hmm. across from you. It just, you know what I mean? It's not subtle either. It's just different when like they're calculating, they're trying to figure out how to hit you hard. Mm-hmm. I think that's cool.
Yeah, and you guys also worked with Michael B. Jordan or what?
We worked with Michael
and
B. Jordan.
And how was that experience working with him and everything?
Working with MGM, working with Michael B. Jordan and his production company, it's been amazing. Like, again, we've been working together for a while now. Mm-hmm. And, so they understand what we're doing. We understand, what they're sensitive to. So the back and forth, we start to develop a shorthand for getting things done. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful, right? So we send likenesses to Michael B. Jordan and his people. He comments on them, brings them back. So we make sure he's in. We kind of set the tone in the beginning of like saying to him, hey, however much you want to be involved, you mm-hmm. tell us. right? Mm-hmm. And we'll make that happen. And that's the way it's been since the first Creed all the way through now. And it's just been an awesome, awesome partnership.
That's cool. All right, for those that are curious about the game, tell them, I'm on camera, right, why they should get this game.
I think you should get this game because it's the best version of Creed yet. I think that you'll love PvP. You'll love the fact that you can almost always find someone to fight against. I think, you know, it's 22 fighters. It's 13 arenas. It's a whole new story mode called Legacy. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if you've been waiting, you shouldn't wait any longer. This is you know, just an amazing. That's why we call it Championship. Yeah. And, you know, and it's fun. It's fun. Yeah. And if you're into fitness, it's got a calorie counter. It counts your punches. It surfaces your stats. So I think there's something in there for a lot of different people, you know. And if you're in VR, you kind of owe it to yourself to pick up this game.
And plus, you want to play against him online. There you go.
Yeah, I might be out there. You know, you never know. You never know.
Yeah, awesome, man. Thanks a lot, man, for the conversation. Man.
Thank you so much.
Cool.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so everyone, thank you for listening to episode 1253. This is was Danny and also Paris. We had a great time just talking about everything that's going on in the gaming. There's going to be more and more content coming up, especially this week. We have a couple other stuff coming up, so stay tuned for that. Paris, anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's it. I think we talked a lot about Mario, so
it's a good episode. Yeah, and for those that watch it, please let us know on Discord or just hit us up on socials. Please let us know about your thoughts about the movie. I think it was a great time. And so, all right, guys, until next time, stay tuned. We have more content coming up this week. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.